considered warranted for testing for safety. And I feel, part of the FDA, that this is a discrimination, and that will be looked into after this day of international protest is done.
You yourself have had experience with this. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Certainly. In 1996, I came under the care of a psychiatrist with some complaints of some depression from some family issues. And I was started on an SSRI drug, just like your Paxil, Prozac, Zoloft. And I had a very violent reaction to it. And some people, they can become suicidal and homicidal with some of these SSRI antidepressants. And unfortunately, I became very aggressive to the point that I went up to the university and took a loaded gun to my psychiatrist's office. And at that point, instead of removing me from the drug, I was placed on multiple other drugs, and I was told that electroshock was my only option. At the time, I was working as a trauma nurse at OHSU. I have an extensive history of working in trauma nursing. And once electroshock began, I soon lost my ability to practice. I had extensive memory and cognitive losses. And what is so dangerous with this treatment, since it is not tested for safety nor effectiveness, how every individual responds is different. You can't tell if you're going to have extensive memory and cognitive loss after 2 or 3 treatments, or if it's going to happen after 12 treatments. It needs to be tested. And the amount of voltage that is used needs to be tested.
So your psychiatrist said it was your only option. Now, is that standard protocol?
In the past, they've used like many courses of antidepressants. They try psychotherapy. They use multiple antidepressants, antipsychotics. Then they would try ECT. But ECT, they use it much more readily now. It's not a last resort. My experience was after 1 or 2 different antidepressants, they wanted to go right to that. Unfortunately, a lot of your medications cause psychiatric symptoms in addition to what they're supposed to be helping with. And I came under the care of a psychiatrist later who had me on extremely high doses of all these different medications that actually caused the side effect of insomnia, which led to more ECT. And once I pointed out, you know, maybe it's the drugs that are causing my problems, and was asking to be withdrawn from some of these drugs instead of more ECT, that was not listened to. And so finally, after I had a total of 66 bilateral ECT treatments, I withdrew myself over 2 months off 14 different drugs. The longest I could stay out of a hospital setting on those drugs and having ECT was 15 days. Every 15 days, I was in the hospital for one reason or another for psychiatric cause with all those drugs and shock taking place. Since I removed myself from all those drugs and no more ECT, I've had not one ER visit, not one psychiatric admission.
That sounds like incredibly terrifying ordeal. It's like a vicious cycle that you got caught up in.
And I'm not alone. This happens to many psychiatric clients caught in this system. We're led to believe that our illnesses are caused by a biochemical imbalance. That's never been proven. There's no blood test, no urine test, nothing that proves that mental illness is caused by imbalance in your brain chemistry. It doesn't affect your serotonin, your neurotransmitters. That's the fallacy promoted by the pharmaceutical industry to push their drugs. And these treatments, these shock treatments, are done to children as young as 34 months of age, somewhere in the United States.
I had the impression that there was a period of time where electroshock was either banned or drastically reduced at a certain point.
No, actually, they're doing more shock now than they've ever done. On last count, a couple of years ago when I first started my website, 100,000 people a year are getting electroshock. It's a $5 billion a year industry, and these psychiatrists that do these electroshocks make 2 and 3 times the amount of money that a regular psychiatrist does not do shock. And we're talking up to $500,000 a year. People, when they get shock, have usually a series done. That means anywhere up to 12 treatments in a series. They get those series, you get 3 treatments a week. Every single treatment, on average, is $2,000 to that physician.
So talk about the movement against electroshock.
The biggest emphasis, if you can't ban shock, is to get the safety ratings improved in the FDA and to have testing done. The problem is that for some people, especially, there's 2 different types that they use in shock. One's called unilateral shock, where the shock is just delivered to one part of the brain, one side of the brain, and bilateral shock, which is both sides. And unilateral seems to have less side effects, such as less memory loss, less cognition loss. But the problem in the treatment, we don't like to call it treatment, we don't like to call it therapy, it's a procedure. It's not considered therapy or treatment. The problem is that in consenting patients, if you don't have the testing behind you, how can you ask that patient to consent? How can you tell the risks and benefits of this procedure that can result in death? These seizures are so violent that they break long bones in the body, such as your femur bones, which are extremely difficult to break. It takes a great amount of force. And they say it's a kinder, gentler ECT now because they put you to sleep and they give you the paralytics so you don't outwardly have the seizure, the grand mal seizure. But the problem is they have to use even more electricity to overcome the drugs they're giving you, but your brain is still seizing. I have an abnormal EEG now because of shock. I was a classically trained pianist. I forgot how to play the piano. I had a successful business and a nursing career. I lost my ability in both those areas. This is devastating people's lives. Mothers are forgetting their children's lives. It's got to stop. They've got to be held accountable. People that have shock have a very hard time remembering with emotion. You think your memory, and they're very spotty. I don't remember much of last week, but I can remember a building that was torn down in Denver, 15 years ago. Even though you may come across well, like this conversation that we're having, a week from now, I won't remember it.
I notice also in the article that it says that Oregon law prohibits, quote, electroshock therapy as unduly hazardous a treatment for individuals who have been committed to the hospital. Now, obviously, when you're in a situation like you are in, where things seem like they're completely out of control, you're on these very powerful medications, a combination of them sometimes, it must have been very difficult to say no. Is there really consent in such a situation?
When you're vulnerable in that situation, whether you're impaired by the numerous drugs they have you on, or you're afraid because they're saying if you, roundabout way, there's a lot of coercion that goes on in psychiatry. And if somebody's telling you, look, you're not going to get out, unless you get better. And the only way we see you getting better is to have shock. You usually will consent. It's intimidation and it's coercion. And I'm not the only one saying that.
And even beyond that, though, it says that there are still reports of involuntary shock treatment. Have you heard any firsthand accounts of that?
There's involuntary shock treatment that goes on quite often in state facilities and probably if you're on a hold and they feel you need shock, they'll give you shock. It's for shock.
So there's so many things to talk about here. Now, there was an article, Electroconvulsive Therapy, the Portland Connection. So the protest is happening in Clackamas. Talk about why you're having it, where you're having it.
This is the fourth year that we've had protests at Kaiser Sunnyside Hospital. And that's where I received 36 of my electroshock. And I thought it was important to do it there because, number one, a lot of people, in fact, even when we have our protest last year, we have employees routinely come up to us and on their lunch break when we're protesting saying, what are you doing it here for? And we're like, well, they do electroshock here. And they're like, well, we didn't know that. And these are employees that work at this facility. So it's important to let the public know that, yes, it is still going on. Yes, you need to inform yourself because this could happen to you. And it's education, and it's my little jab back at Kaiser.
And so where else do they do it in the Portland area and in Oregon?
OHSU has a program. I know the VA has been sending their patients to OHSU in the past. Peace Health in Eugene is doing shock. I'm not sure about Vancouver. They're Peace Health also, but I'm not sure if they have an active program or not. But Kaiser has a very active program.
And I also noticed that there's another Portland area connection, the MECTA Corporation, which was one of the two or so major producers of ECT devices, is actually located in Tualatin.
It's actually across the street and down the road a little bit from Kaiser Permanente Tualatin office. And there's two major manufacturers of ECT devices. MECTA is one of them and Somatics. Those are the two major suppliers of ECT machines.
So if people want to come out on Saturday and or otherwise support your efforts, how might they go about doing that?
I would love to have them come to Kaiser Sunnyside Hospital in Clackamas. The protest starts at 11 and goes till 1. if you decide to come, please park across the street and not on Kaiser property. We'd love to have the support because this is an important issue. Pregnant women are having this done to them.
And is there contact information? Are you involved with an organization that people can get a hold of as well?
People can go to ectjustice.com. That's the website for electroshock, and I can be reached through there. And also the protest sites are all listed on ECT Justice, and there's 28 cities now and 9 countries participating on May 16th.
I also noticed Mind Freedom International is involved in this.
Right. Mind Freedom International supports this and endorses it. Rethinking Psychiatry, CCHR, ECT Justice.
Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Avoid electroshock.
That was Deborah Schwarzkopf, local electroshock survivor and activist, speaking with KBOO reporter Paul Rowland. Again, a local protest as part of an International Day of Action will take place this Saturday at the Kaiser Sunnyside Medical Center from 11 to 1. The address is 10180 Southeast Sunnyside Road in Clackamas. Anyone attending is asked not to park on Kaiser property. The other Oregon protest is happening in Eugene at the Wayne Morse Free Speech Plaza at 125 East 8th Avenue at 1:30 in the afternoon. For more information, go to www.ectjustice.com. Schwarzkopf will present a critical look at electroshock treatment next Wednesday, May 20th at 6:45 in the evening at the National College of Natural Medicine, 49 Southwest Porter Street in Portland. The event is sponsored by Rethinking Psychiatry. Also, this Saturday, there will be a conference on shattering stigma with stories, mental health and faith communities, from 2 to 8 p.m. at the Montevilla United Methodist Church in Portland. The conference is aimed at helping to shatter the isolating stigma of mental health challenges, especially within communities of faith. The address is 232 Southeast 80th Avenue, and for more information on the conference, including registration, contact Chris Moore at interfaith@folktime.org.
Yes, and we're here at to tell you that we need your support. Here at KBOO, we'll tell you about the protests and the rallies and stuff before they even happen, whereas on the other media, they may not even tell you anything about it at all unless, you know, the cops, coerce some stuff to get broken or something like that. That's what we do here for you, is as well as providing you news, public affairs, and some of the best music that you'll hear anywhere in the world.
And for you to help us, call 877-500-5266 and make a contribution. You can make a contribution for any amount because all of it is important. We like it when you give a monthly amount, for instance, $5 a month or more, $10 a month. If you happen to have, $10,000 sitting around every month that you just don't know what to do with, give it to us. $10,000 a month would definitely help us. Or you can go to kboo.fm and do that very same thing. You click on the tip jar, which is at the top right of our homepage, and it will guide you through giving us money. But give us a call, 877-500-5266, because KBOO is community volunteer-driven radio. And that is a very good thing. That is a nice thing for you to support because it ends up supporting you. It pays back immediately.
Yeah, and you're supporting the community. You're really, KBOO is the bridge between all these different groups, activist groups, and the general public. And this is where they come to get the word out about things. We are the nexus where all these other groups converge, and that's why we're able to do all we can because of contributions like yours. So please give us some money. 877-500-5266 is the phone number. You can put it on a credit card. You can do a monthly EFT is what we call them, a monthly thing where it automatically comes out of your bank account or debit card or credit card. You can also just send us a check. But it does not happen until you call right now, 877-500-5266. We need your support. We need your help because we can't do it by ourselves. Basically, all the voices you've been hearing in the last many hours as our volunteers. We run on volunteers, and we run on community support.
And if you didn't do it right then do it right now.
Yeah, 877-500-5266.
And also KBOO.FM, if you're listening online, at the top right corner of our homepage is a tip jar that says donate now and has a big dollar sign. Click on that and it will take you through the donation process. And then you will be happy. We will be happy. You will start thinking about what you've been listening to in a very different way, because you are truly now a committed member of the KBOO community. And it starts with 877-500-5266. Let's go back to the news and the programming.
All right.
Thank you. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Or online at kboo.fm. The time is 6 p.m. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of We the People Standing Together to Protect Our Climate, Lessons from the Community Rights Movement. Thursday, May 14th at 7 p.m. at the Elliott Chapel in the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Paul Cienfuegos is presenting this original speech and will lead a community conversation about the community rights movement and how civic engagement can lead to reclaiming the structures of law. Again, that's Paul Cienfuegos with We the People Standing Together to Protect Our Climate, Thursday, May 14th at 7 p.m. at the Elliott Chapel at the First Unitarian Church, 1011 Southwest 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be